Good afternoon and welcome to Joint Resolutions. I'm your host, Steve Elkins, and today's date is August 2nd, 2023. I am awaiting my co-host, Steve Starrs, to join us here pretty soon, and we'll get to the issues, but I'll go ahead and start until he gets here. Happy to be here. This is going to be the schedule for a little while here. I'll be on Wednesdays and, of course, on my Sunday show and, of course, the National Intel Report on Mondays. So I'm going to be taking over the Wednesday slot, and I think Michael's got us kind of a schedule for a little while here. Some of their show hosts plugged in on certain days. And I think there's a special treat in there, but I don't want to bring it to your attention yet and make sure it's 100% set in the works here. But I like it. It's a good idea, I think. And so I think it'd bring more listeners to the network. So I'm crossing my fingers for that one to work out to materialize. And I believe Roger Landy is going to take Fridays. And I believe Richard Carey will take Mondays. So Tuesdays and Thursdays are open to the special guest I will not tell you about. And I will take Wednesdays. Again, this is Joint Resolutions. It's going to last as long as it can last, and unless we decide to fill this slot with somebody Monday through Friday or Monday through Thursday, I will stay here as long as I need to be to do what I need to do to fill the space. Let's talk about what's going on. What's the big news today? Well, the big news is Donald Trump indictments, of course. You know, the third indictment for criminal charges. Trump's to be in court tomorrow, sometime in the afternoon. But just breaking news about 15 minutes ago. Here's your first diversion, away from talking about the issues here. Again, the Democrats pulling a little slick trick, I'm sure of us. And a 911 call, to authorities saying there's an active shooter in Washington, D.C. Well, the Congress is not in session right now. A few people floating around, they're probably up there. Other than that, there's nobody in really working, doing any work right now, but except for working on taking down Donald Trump. That's a never-ending job, it seems like. But yeah, the third indictment for criminal charges today, Trump in court tomorrow sometime. Have you noticed? Have you noticed that there's always a new indictment on the same day or the day after Hunter Biden or Joe Biden, their corruption is revealed? Have you noticed this consistency here? It's probably just a coincidence. I guess it's a coincidence. It couldn't be planned that way, could it not? But yeah, every time Joe Biden gets in trouble and Hunter Biden gets in trouble, of course, something else must come out about Trump. What an evil person he is. And, you know, he didn't believe in the election in 2020. He contested it. That's illegal. You can't do that. Of course, there's no records on the book. There's no statute to saying you can't disagree with the election outcomes. And he was correct in doing so. Correct in doing so. Again, hey, do we have Steve Starrs yet or not? No? Nothing yet, huh? Okay, we'll keep doing what I'm doing. So a new indictment, basically the fourth one here, the third indictment for criminal charges, all based on the 2020 riots. I won't call it an insurrection. What would I call it? It was certainly scripted by the FBI and scripted by the D.C. Capitol Police. It was not an insurrection because there were no firearms used. And you can't overthrow a government without some kind of force, you know, some kind of force itself. And so we don't have really truly an insurrection here. What we have are some people getting out of line here, out of hand, and maybe trespass. That's the word I'm looking for, trespass. They were trespassing on government property, but it is the people's house, right? It is their property. And I guess those D.C. Capitol Police and the FBI probably shouldn't have taken down those barriers and said, come on in, we'll give you a little tour and then set you up for the kill here. And what, nearly 1,000 people now are in jail awaiting trials. This is like Abu Ghraib prison, you know, you're in prison and you don't get to see representation and to fight the charges. They got you on camera. They got everybody on camera. They got Ray Epps on camera, but Ray Epps was the person that was never a person of interest. You know, he was doing his job, working for the FBI, no doubt about it. that is one thing I would not let go. Ray Epps. I mean, you should have a big T-shirt that says, "Who's Ray Epps?" and "How come he got off?" and he's not in jail. You know, we should have bumper stickers and T-shirts about Ray Epps, the provocateur, the FBI stooge provocateur, who said we must go into the Capitol on his bullhorn there. And, of course, he's sitting in Arizona now. He's just happy as can be. He did his job. He organized the trespass. He organized the trespass, and then he walks away. So, you know, if you want to stick somebody with an insurrection of inciting a riot or breaking the law, you've got a guy right there. You got him on tape. You got him on a bullhorn, and nothing's being done. You know, not surprising. Again, since we have the creation of the Homeland Security Act, of course, which comes out of the Patriot Act, it was all well planned that it was never going to be about fighting terrorists, finding them early before they, you know, they attack us. It was never about that. It was about finding information and getting the dirt on the people that are the most prominent, who make decisions, who are the people you need to control. You know, the court systems, people in judicial, politicians who vote on the bills. And keeping these people in place, it was all well scripted. This is a really, really dirty government, which is interesting because they're going after conservatives. They're going after Republicans, conservatives, as far as I know, going after independents myself. But that's exactly what they're going at. This is quite the opposite from the FBI days of J. Edgar Hoover, where he went after liberalism. He went after homosexuality, people in the military who were hiding things. And of course, he would force them out of the military. And now they're saying that's a prerequisite to get yourself in the military. You know, and also, if you come out and say you are LGBTQ or transgender or whatever, or gender confused, you know, that'll keep you from being deployed. What a great deal. Used to join the National Guard if you didn't want to get deployed. That was the way to get out of going to Vietnam. You simply enter the National Guard, and that was your safe haven to keep you from going to Vietnam. But now you just got to say, I'm LGBTQ, and okay, well, we won't deploy you. We don't want you in a foxhole, and I don't think they want you in a foxhole. So you can stay here stateside and be safe. Be safe, you know. We'll give you a nice paper job, pushing job, and you can work at the PX, the BX, whatever, and you'll be safe. Yeah, not going to get your ass shot off. Let's just say that. And so that's worked out. But again, Donald Trump here, again, new charges, new indictment for criminal charges. Let's talk about the criminal charges here against Donald Trump here over the 2020 election investigation. Count number one, conspiracy to defraud. Now, pay careful attention to that C word there, conspiracy, because you're going to hear it a lot, not by accident. Count number two, conspiracy to obstruct official proceedings. Count number three, obstruction and attempt to obstruct an official proceeding. Count number four, conspiracy against rights. Conspiracy against rights. Now, you know, as a conspiracy, let's just think about this for a second here. A conspiracy is something that's well planned out and thought through all the options, maybe even your escape route, how to get away. So it's something that's planned out. So Donald Trump doing his little speech in Washington the day of the trespass into the Capitol here, he must have known this. He must have planned this. Do we have any kind of recordings? Do we have anything at all to substantiate that Donald Trump had planned and organized this trespass into the Capitol? Do we have anything? We don't, do we? We don't have a thing. There's nothing there. So you don't have a conspiracy. You have people acting on their own will, doing their own thing. As we heard in his speech, you're going to assemble peacefully and make your way to the Capitol to make your voices be heard. There's nothing insurrection in that speech. There's nothing to provoke, keyword, provoke people to break the law. Those people who broke the law, many of those people were FBI provocateurs working with the FBI or the D.C. Capitol Police. This was the big setup. The big setup to point a finger at Donald Trump because they know what a threat he is. Whether you like this guy or not, he's a threat to the establishment. I'm not really happy with it. I don't think we should ever been in this situation. If he'd done his job, when you recognize that there might be election fraud, voter fraud, when you recognize something, you have a duty to act on it and fix it before it becomes a problem. That's the same thing in my line of work, and I see you. I catch problems. I see problems that might exist, that might happen. I stop that progression to that, and I make sure it never happens, and we're never in a bad situation. That's what I do. Donald Trump recognized it. He crossed his fingers and said, well, I hope it doesn't happen. It happened. It bit him on the ass, and it affected us all, the entire nation, at least those who were on the side of righteousness and the conservative side. We are now are being swamped by the swamp, the Democratic swamp, and now we're fighting for our lives to get our lives back because they can pretty much control everything. And where we don't have the majority, we have a problem because there are Republicans who act more like Democrats than Republicans. They're rhinos. They're worthless to us. And so that's our problem. There's not the reverse of that, by the way. I don't think I've ever heard of a Democrat acting more like a Republican. I just don't see that. It's the other way around. So we've got this little problem here with that. And so here we got the counts. We're ready to go here. And, basically what we have here is a group of people. I like to call Biden the Biden Stasi, because that's exactly what they're acting like, communists. And, of course, they've got the control of the Department of Justice and all the other intelligence agencies working on their behalf here. But what they're doing is trying to take down somebody for disagreeing. Now, let me go back a little ways here. The irony of this is they're going after somebody for free speech, his First Amendment rights, to agree or disagree with the outcome of the election. I disagreed with it. And then later on, we found some little evidence. We found a little documentary put out called 2,000 Mules. Clear evidence of voter fraud, election fraud. We had it on video of the ballot stuffing, the deposits, all the different areas there, pulling out ballot boxes, chasing away the observers, scanning ballots over again. All the classic theft, we saw it right there on video. We saw all of it. For some reason, that doesn't matter. But there was election fraud. And you could say, well, maybe it didn't. The Democrats would say, well, there might have been a little hanky-panky something going on here, a little bit of election fraud, voter fraud. But it wouldn't have amounted to much, and it certainly would have changed the outcome. Now, let's go back and think about this for a second. If a man stays in the basement and never comes out really to campaign to get the presidency, and can't, when he does come out, he can't draw very many people to his rallies. He couldn't fill a elementary school auditorium up with anybody. And if he did, most of them were staffers to make it look like there was a crowd of people there. And you can tell because the video camera doesn't show you the number of people. They probably actually factor that in with other pictures to make it look like a crowd. It might be bigger. Hillary did that quite a bit when she couldn't pull the crowd either. So you have ways to confuse and basically deceive the people that, hey, there's a bigger crowd than I thought. The man couldn't pull the crowd. He could not pull anybody to his rallies. And whenever he did, of course, he stuck his foot in his mouth. So he can't pull anybody to a rally. But then you get this other guy here, the guy that nobody likes. They call him the Orange Man because of his hair. He pulls in 20,000, 30,000 people every time he goes out to speak. 20, 30,000 people. But this other guy can't pull anybody. So just using a little bit of logic here, would it make sense for the guy who stays in the basement when he does come out, he pulls 300 people to a rally versus the guy who pulls 20,000 to a rally? Would you think that the guy that pulls 300 to the rally would win a presidency? And we're talking about every place he went to, every state he went to and did a little speech, Joe Biden, he couldn't pull a crowd of people. He couldn't pull a crowd. So in using logic and the visual of what I saw, there's no way in the world somebody could win an election that can't pull the crowd flat out. I don't think that's a no-brainer. That's common sense. So I knew right off the bat this is not possible. and that if they were going to steal this thing, they were going to steal it through the computer system, Dominion or Smartmatic, and probably some ballot stuffing, because remember we had COVID going on. Yeah, I don't want to, my gosh, you don't want to be around a bunch of people here. Here, we'll come by and we'll pick up your ballots for you. We'll even help you fill them out here. Not a problem. Stuff. There we go. We're winning again now. So Donald Trump is being prosecuted, attacked, based on his First Amendment right to agree or disagree with the outcome of the election. He's being prosecuted on tweets. He's had lawyers, which, by the way, is there's supposed to be a lawyer-client privilege that you can't share it with anybody other than the client himself. And you have attorneys for Donald Trump going over to the DOJ and saying, here's what we talked about, and here's what I know, and here's what he told me. And nobody's talking about disbarment. Nobody's talking about illegal. This is very legal. And we hear people talking about in the hospital setting, if this happens in the hospital setting, well, it's a HIPAA violation, right? It's a HIPAA violation. If a doctor starts talking around and in public and telling everybody your diagnosis and what treatments you're getting, this and that, he does it out loud. It's a violation of that patient's rights. It is a HIPAA violation. But for some reason, in the rule of law here in the judicial world here now, the new rules are, I guess, lawyers can cross over and give every bit of evidence, everything you've ever told them, to the other side that's prosecuting. That's okay. You can do that now. Are we living in like a Twilight Zone world right now? What is going on that nobody is going after this client, lawyer, attorney, privilege, clientele? You can't do this stuff, and it's happening, and nobody seems to contest this. Nobody's going after it. I think we got a call in the loop here, so let's go to it. It's looks like Dave in Michigan. Welcome, Dave. Dave in Michigan. We lost him. Okay. What's going on with Steve Starrs? No Starrs yet? Okay, I'll give him a call. We're going to break another minute, so I'll give him a quick call, see if we can get him on here. I'm not sure what happened. I talked to him. So let's also look at some other things here. Currently, Donald Trump's legal battles right now are 4 criminal probes, 3 with charges, 78 total, 40 counts on the special documents case alone, and you've got 34 counts in hush money, Stormy Daniels. And then you've got 4 counts on the January 6th probe. So more to come on this. We're going to see if we can fish around and find Steve Starrs. I'll be right back.
I'm so excited to have you as part of the Wild Pastures family, and we look forward to bringing you the pasture-raised meats that you and your family will love. Now, we started Wild Pastures because so many of my clients would tell me they just couldn't find high-quality pasture-raised meats, and even when they did, it was so expensive that they couldn't afford to eat it regularly. Now, I'm not talking about the bottom-of-the-barrel healthy meats that have claims like natural or free-range or even cage-free, terms that were actually created by the industrial food industry to make us feel all warm and fuzzy about buying their low-quality products. I'm talking about truly nourishing pasture-raised meats, the kind that you'll never really find in a grocery store. Our farmers are doing things beyond organic. Our beef is 100% grass-fed and grass-finished and raised on pastures free from chemicals and other pesticides. Our chickens are 100% pasture-raised, where they get their natural diet of grass and forage and insects. We will never settle for free-range, which is actually one of the most deceptive terms in the chicken industry. In fact, less than 0.1% of the chicken consumed in the United States is truly pasture-raised in the way that ours is. And our pork is 100% pasture-raised as well. So if you care about where your food comes from, then you have definitely made it to the right place. As a Wild Pastures member, you'll be supporting the most highly principled farmers in America and getting the most nutrient-dense, nourishing, and sustainable meats in the world. But I'm confident you'll love being part of our mission at Wild Pastures, and you will really love the delicious, nourishing meats that we're going to deliver straight to your door.
Visit republicbroadcasting.org and click the Wild Pastures banner ad. Secure a shipment today. Beef, poultry, and pork raised the way nature intended.
Here's some interesting news. Due to all the recent claims about possible nuclear wars, viruses, solar flares, and civil unrest, people are scrambling to prepare and stockpile food. But the one thing out of reach for many is an underground bunker. Until now. Because you can now have a 3D printed underground bunker in just one day. An excavator digs a hole in your backyard, and 3DBunkers.com shows up in a small truck and sets up their 3D printer under a tent completely undetected. They can print as many rooms as you want at a fraction of the cost compared to traditional metal bunkers. 3D Bunkers uses polymer concrete, which is 5 times stronger than regular cement. YouTube 3DBunkers.com and watch the video. The creators of 3D Bunkers is looking for a business partner that can help bring this technology to the world. And we need to protect our way of life without living in fear. Contact Brad at 3DBunkers.com for more details or visit 3DBunkers.com.
And we are back. This is Joint Resolutions. I'm your host, Steve Elkins. I'm still waiting for Steve Starrs to show up. I'm not sure what's happened to him. I talked to him earlier. He was pumped and ready to go. We were talking about many issues today, so I'm hoping he could be here if something's happened. Then I will just wing it myself. I have no wingman, and then I am Maverick, I guess. Before we get to the next call here, I want to bring something else that's kind of ironic in a way here. Again, Donald Trump is being attacked for questioning the outcome of the 2020 elections here. And so that's not legal. You can't do that. There must be some law, some precedent, some statute to say what he's doing now is in violation. There's not, because it's a First Amendment right. Agree or disagree. That's the way it is. Well, what is ironic is the same thing happened in 2016 with Hillary Clinton contesting and saying that the election was stolen from her. And so that's okay to say the election was stolen for me. I don't believe in what happened here. There's a conspiracy. This was stolen. And offering no proof, by the way. We offered proof with the 2,000 mules. She's offered no proof. Said it somehow. It worked out against her, but it was stolen from her. And, of course, you can say whatever you want. If you're a Democrat, if you're a Republican, you get prosecuted for it. If a Democrat says it, you just look the other way and say, well, that's the way it goes. This is what happens in a communist government. That's exactly what we have now, pretty much total control of a communist government here over us. The rules apply to us, they don't apply to them, and that's what's happening right here. Let's go to our first caller right now and talk to, let's see, we got here, Daryl in Canada. Welcome to the show.
Hi. Well, Trump, like many others, the best way to describe pretty much everything he's done here is on all four cases. It looks like he broke some rules, possibly. He maybe not has been as forthcoming, let's say, in the classified document case in Miami, but none of this should ever rise to the scrutiny and jeopardy that Trump is in. I mean, he's in a... It makes the U.S. look really bad, although I must say this, Trump was pretty... Like, for instance, I think Trump had a 12% approval rating up here, although George Bush was 15%. They're crazy. They're really far. They're gone up here anyway. But Trump, yeah, it's terrible. But Trump, they might give them a bit of a pass for that, like for just prosecuting Trump. But it's just a really, it looks like a bit, whether you say it or not, whether you like Trump, it's just a banana republic sticking you right in the face.
Right. Oh, I know. You know, I just heard a poll number today, and anything coming from New York Times, you can just pretty much in the Washington Post. But they're actually claiming, the New York Times is actually claiming that it's pretty much a dead heat right now as far as percentage in polling. They're dead heat at 42%, Donald Trump and Joe Biden at 42%. Now, wait a minute here. Let me refresh my memory here. I think we all see the same thing. We see our economy failing here in the United States. Yellow Trucking is now just filed for bankruptcy. 30,000 employees, truckers, are going to be gone here soon. And, of course, that's going to jam up the system there as far as the supply chain goes, more supply chain shortages and not having products that we need. That's all by design, by the way, too. But, you see a failing economy, out of control inflation. Everything seems to be going wrong. The border issue, a big problem. Many states are now breaking at the seams here with all the illegals coming in. They can't take care of them. They're using their own money to take care of them. And so a guy who's wreaking havoc on the entire nation here, who's hurting our economy, doesn't have good poll numbers. Typically, they don't have good poll numbers. They should be in the teens right now. Joe Biden should be in the teens, and in the teens would be only his own little network of people that love him and are making money off him. Other than that, the rest of us are all losing money. Our standard of living is going down. So why would his poll numbers be even Steven right now at 42% with Donald Trump after it clearly shows he's destroying the economy? It doesn't make sense, does it, Daryl?
No, well, I mean, the New York Times, like you just said, you prefaced it perfect, New York Times and Washington Post. Like, who cares what they say? I always kind of find it kind of funny on some subject that was, you know, pretty much everyone knew 6 months or a year before. But it took the New York Times or the Washington Post to say it was okay before it was really wrong. I couldn't care less what they said before or after. I mean, they make no – and their polls are notoriously horrible because I watch polls anyway. But, you know, having said all this, what I said before about Trump breaking the rules, I mean, he's in serious trouble, because especially just look at this Washington. But Trump's not going to like this judge. This judge is a radical D.C. judge appointed by Obama in 2014.
Right. So
you have to break.
Yeah. She's really harsh on the people that they nabbed in those videos from January 6th. She's really harsh on them.
Oh yeah, above and beyond even some of the prosecutors.
Daryl, I'm gonna hold you over. So hold your thought, and I'll bring you right back after this commercial break. Okay, hold on.
The truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Antelope Hill Publishing is America's leading publisher of dissident books, bringing you a wide variety of new translations and original works on every subject, from the funding behind the transgender movement to firsthand memoirs of World War II previously inaccessible to English-speaking audiences. We publish books that mainstream publishers won't touch, full of information that challenges the political status quo. Whether you count yourself as a political dissident, student of history, connoisseur of philosophy, or enthusiast of exciting and thought-provoking fiction, you owe it to yourself to check out our catalog. With exclusive offerings like The Transgender Industrial Complex, Solzhenitsyn and the Right, The Open Society Playbook, Opioids for the Masses, and many more, there's something for everyone. And new titles are added every month. Check out our catalog today at antelopehillpublishing.com and use code RBN Readers 2023 for 10% off your order. That's RBN Readers 2023 at antelopehillpublishing.com.
Gilad Atzmon says the essence of Jewish power is the ability to prevent the discussion of Jewish power.
Jewish power requires anybody in politics to understand it and know about it, but never talk about it.
My Awakening really sums up, with the very best evidence, the facts and the truth about race, and the fact that race drives history, and the truth about the Jewish question.
The younger you get, the greater the percentage of people who identify as alphabet soup, you know, LGBTQRS.
This woman, she's like, oh yeah, I identify as a koala 2 years ago. And I'm like, what?
A koala?
What? Maybe if it was Quickie Koala, that might be cool, but otherwise, I don't know.
How about an N-word pass? Have you ever received an N-word pass from any of your black friends?
Biden invited a drag queen
come for the signing of the Respect for Marriage Act. It's the Respect for Anal Sex Act. So, yeah, I mean, let's just call it like it is.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show, Tuesday at 9 Central and Wednesday at 1 Central.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
And we go back to the phones and talk to Daryl in Canada. Go ahead and finish up your thought there, Daryl.
Yeah, great bumper music, Ace from 1975, a couple years before I was born.
Yeah. Do you know the story behind that song? Do you know the story?
No.
I can tell you. You want to hear it? I was just telling Michael. I said, Michael, do you know the story? And he goes, oh, it's about romance or something. I said, nah, you're way off. By the way, Paul Carrick is the vocalist on that from, what band he was went later on to? I'll think of it. Now, the story is actually about their bass player was moonlighting, going out on the other band. He was with the band Ace, and he was moonlighting behind their back, and he was planning on leaving the band. And they found out that this guy is working on the weekends. He's on a stage with another band. He was planning on leaving Ace. And once it became knowledge that they found out he was leaving, then they confronted him. Why were you dishonest? How long has this been going on? You've been doing this. You've been moonlighting. You're going to leave us. And then he finally said, well, you know what? I shouldn't have done that. I should have been honest with you. So he ended up going back with the band Ace, and then the song was written, How Long? So there's your story.
Oh, interesting. Okay. Yeah, a lot of the personal stories are translated to songs. Yeah, just get back to Trump there. Black judge I talked about was 95-0 Senate vote. So it just gives you an idea. I mean, you got the likes of rhinos, like you mentioned, Mitch McConnell and Romney. And
Lindsey Graham.
Like
Lindsey Graham.
Riley,
Would you call Lindsey Graham a rhino?
Yeah, I would. I would. But, you know, guys, I don't know how in the world. I just kind of fade on him. I mean, I give him a little bit of a gray area because he's so with Trump now. But I don't know. I think he's more two-faced than anything. But, yeah, okay. I mean, Trump has got in D.C. I mean, 96% of black women have voted for the Democrats. Now, probably in D.C., it's probably about 99.5%. So he's going to have a minimum 6, probably 8 on the jury in D.C. And they have extreme bias in there. There's no doubt about it towards Trump and whites in general. I mean, look at their rubber stamping every single January 6th. Every charge is never dropped even. It's just unbelievable. And even in New York, like I say, New York City, Fulton County is going to be very similar to Atlanta. I mean, he's going to need a whole string. He's going to have to win lottery almost to get like four hung juries. because he's never going to get acquittal. But somehow he's going to need four hung juries unless he can hold these things over and over. Actually, he gets a break every time he gets charged more and more because that gives him more time because the judge will allow the jury, I mean, his lawyers will ask for more time because of the next extra charges. So actually, the more charges he gets, the more time he might be able to push this out past possibly the election. But, I mean, hung jury is his only chance.
Yeah, I agree. You know, I heard a word today that is a new word in my vocabulary. It's called lawfare. I don't know if you've heard this before, lawfare, and basically welfare, warfare going after law, basically. And I heard that today, and I thought, wow, that's exactly what's going on here. You know, the Democrats, the DOJ, going after Donald Trump, trying to find any way, a legal strategy to just to tie him up. I mentioned all the counts and all the charges, a total of what, 78 now, that are all racked up here against him, and just trying to tie him up in the courts forever. And so he won't be allowed to do any campaign, you know, routes there as far as meeting the people and you know, for the office of the presidency. 6 months before the actual election, they're going to tie his hands up as much as they possibly can. But in all reality, if we truly still have a constitution and a bill of rights, and we actually go by the rule of law, they don't have the burden of proof. They don't have the evidence. If everything they say, it's just, well, it's hearsay, it's a tweet we saw, it's something we've twisted and turned the words down. We saw them do that exactly to Robert F. Kennedy Jr. lately with the racism and the anti-Semitism, how they tried to twist everything around to make the case that they have against him. And he fought back hard. And if you've noticed, they kind of backed off on Robert F. Kennedy Jr. But because he fought hard, and they certainly didn't have what they said they had against him. And Donald Trump needs to do the same thing. I'm baffled how attorney-client privilege is being violated, and nobody is making a stink out of this. This thing gets you debarred. You lose your license, for God's sakes. And nobody's making a stink out of this. I don't understand how your attorney can go over to the other side and hand over everything you've talked to the guy before. It's clearly a violation, and I don't know. I don't know if we even have a constitution anymore. The way I've seen things right now, I'm not certain we do. It's a piece of paper, as George W. Bush would say, and that's pretty much all it is right now. Until we get the Supreme Court to step in, for God's sake, step in and put an end to this redefining the definition of is, because that's what we have here. That's all we have here, redefining the definitions of everything, whether it's a pandemic or whether it's a vaccine. Everything, insurgency, resurrection, you know, insurrection, I'm sorry, they're redefining all the words to benefit them on their agendas. And I don't know. I'm waiting. We'll see what happens. But somebody's got to step in and set the record straight. We clearly have to get back to the rule of law.
Well, a couple of Supreme Court judges wanted to. I think Clarence Thomas and Alito wanted to do something about the election fraud, but they were all overtaken even by their own, like the four others that were somewhat conservatives than the others. So I don't think the Supreme Court, they're just like those other, it was 60 cases have been taken up in front of a judge, and they've dismissed them all because the first one said no, the second one said no, the fourth said no, the tenth said no. Even if there was compelling evidence, these judges didn't have the guts because they didn't want to, you know, rock the boat because 10 others said no. It doesn't matter what those cases said, this one's the same. They just joined in. I look at this case, Stephen, it's kind of like all these cases. It's like the steal in 2020. It's like over 50% of the people now think from all different walks think the election was stolen. It's like somebody breaking into your house. You take kind of a fuzzy picture of them and a good picture of them. You got a bunch of them. They're carrying out your computer. You go to the police, and the police don't charge anybody. And then the person who took your computer away finds this out, and they charge you for defamation. That's what the Democrats and the lawfare, like you say, is doing right now. It's incredible.
It is incredible. I wish Ron McDonald were here. I'm sure he would have a lot to say about that here. Again, it's like we have no rule of law whatsoever now. There's no rules. At least they're running the show now, and they can do pretty much what they want because they got the domination. Even though we may have the House, we're still talking about those rhinos who are more Democrats. So really having the majority, barely a majority in the House means nothing when you have rhinos. It's totally worthless to say, we own the House. We have the majority in the House. Yeah. Did you forget about the rhino? Did you forget about those rhinos, plural? Yeah, so we really don't have any control even in the House.
There's plenty of fraud in 2022 also to keep the senators out and keep that House down also. So and governorship too, so that continued. They're getting better at it, Stephen. 2024 might be, they'll have to, because they'll probably have to win by 7 or 10 points over what Trump is probably going to lead by. He might be doing it in a jumpsuit, but he said he'll campaign from jail. So there's no turning this guy back. But
I mentioned a while back, there's certain rules. I think I wrote out one time talking about how they rig the elections here. How they had to, first of all, they do some polling, and the polling is a difference between the Republican and the Democrat. There's a difference in poll, maybe 10%. And then suddenly, you know, weeks before, they start doing more polling, and they narrow the gap. They narrow the gap, and they get it closer and closer. Then they tell you at the time of the election, it's a dead heat. Then they steal the election. Then they have a computer glitch, and they also have no exit polling. They have no exit polling. They have no exit polling. They have a computer glitch. And then they destroy all the evidence, and then they claim victory. And this is pretty much what they did last time. I expect the same thing to happen in 2024, because the same system is still in place. Nothing was changed, and I really do hold that against Donald Trump for recognizing a problem that might happen, would happen. It did happen, and we all lose because of that now. We all lost.
Yeah,
because he didn't fix it. He didn't fix it. He had a duty and an obligation. When you notice something like that, it's your duty and your obligation to fix it. And he had several years to do so, and he didn't do it. He didn't do it.
Well, I'll close on this. I'll say that if this happens again, and let's say Trump is actually the nominee, and it's in your face, as Farron likes to say, fraud again, that talk of secession, that's going to be not just kind of in the back room. That's going to be in the front room with Texas leading the way, because the Americans are not going to go for another one of these. Never.
Yeah.
It's going to be, there's definitely going to be big time consequences to this effect.
I like that idea. I like that idea, but there's only one problem. We don't have anybody to really, other than what West Virginia and Virginia at one time, that goes back in the 1800s, succeeding and separating themselves. But California tried that. And last time I talked to Paul Preston, I still look it up once in a while, they failed miserably on their trying to pull out and divide the state, divide California in two sections there. The new state California initiative where they were working on it, it's a failure. It didn't work. And I don't even know if they're still working on that. Paul Preston's still working on that. But the government's not going to let you out of their grips. They're just not going to let you do it. And they control everything now still.
Yeah.
So the whole new California initiative, a failure.
Yeah.
Failure. Sorry.
Maybe. Okay. Thanks, Stephen, very much. Thanks for taking my call and giving me that time.
All right. Well, I see a mugshot on my screen here. It looks like Steve Starrs is with us.
Okay.
Is that Steve Starr?
Yeah, I hope so.
Hey, what happened there, guy?
Oh man, I've been up and down. I've had some things happen with me, but I'm back and I'm glad to be with you on the show here.
Okay.
And
we'll talk about that.
I don't got a chance to cover all of what we were getting to yet, but I'm here and ready to go.
Well, good. I'm glad. I already went down, talked about the third indictment, four criminal charges. Trump's in court tomorrow. Pretty much talked over count number 1, 2, 3, and 4, went over all those things, which is interesting. This last count, the conspiracy against rights, I was trying to break down the word conspiracy, which means planned out, and nothing was planned out. There's nothing planned. They showed no evidence to say a conspiracy exists. It's just a word to make it to demonize you. But as Donald Trump said, you had 2.5 years to file charges on this count. And now you pick the timing right now, and it is amazing that every time we acknowledge or reveal a Biden corruption, whether it's through Hunter Biden or his father Joe Biden, suddenly the same day or the following day we have charges filed against Donald Trump again. What a coincidence this is to file charges right after they come out with this. 17 tapes, 20 phone calls between Hunter and the people they were paying him the big bucks and the extortion and the $10 million and all that. And the big guy is right here. My father's right here. Of course, Joe Biden, they're saying now people like Adam Schiff, which why are we listening to Adam Schiff? He just got busted for lying about the Russian involvement in the elections and everything Russiagate, but for some reason he still has credibility to come out and say it's about damn time they start prosecuting Trump for these things. Amazing. This guy with the bad track record is getting some kind of credibility. But yeah, he had 2.5 years. They had 2.5 years to file any charges on this, but now they picked the timing right here. I used a word, Steve, that I have not used before. I heard it today. Maybe you've heard the word lawfare. Lawfare. Have you heard that word?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's been what the Democrats have set up to do. They have, you know, I mean, everything is about trying to misuse the law because they can't win the elections. They have to try to tangle it up into the courts with a lot of very defunct and illegitimate judges and charges. They've been, you know, lawfare was essentially what they tried to do, really, with the impeachment, the follies that they pulled off a couple of times, and now they're at it again.
Yeah. Well, you mentioned something to me a couple hours ago. You were talking about some loud talking between the Supreme Court justices. Somebody was getting angry, and I guess their voices were a little elevated, and somebody might have out in the hallway heard what they were saying. Why don't you give us an update on that?
Yeah, you know, I didn't do a lot of looking for it, and there's really nothing more than rumors, but there were several people who attended to the court, the Supreme Court. And as the Supreme Court goes into these private chambers, they are private chambers. Nobody bugs them. Bugging by that, I mean listening to, or they're not supposed to listen through the cracks or anything like that. It's one of those things that they allow the court their privacy to talk about these things. But I can't remember who the fellow was. There were several of those people who attend to the court, and the rumor comes down the line that the court case, the original lawsuit, which Trump should have come back with on a second appeal I think they turned just Texas down alone on that one lawsuit, and he should have joined the lawsuit, and there were, 10 states, I think it was, that joined right after that. It's really surprising to me that he didn't keep coming and banging on that door. But anyway, getting back to the point, we know Clarence Thomas is a great conservative judge, and so is Sam Alito, both of them very good. Then, of course, you know, you have Kavanaugh and Gorsuch, and I have said for a long time I was always very disappointed with the appointment of Amy Coney Barrett.
Oh, yeah, me too.
Yeah, there was, Barbara Lagoa, I think it was her name, was a great conservative lady who represented the Elon Gonzalez case many years ago, the little boy that was trying to stand in the United States, and they gave him back to the communists, you know. Yep. You remember that case. Conservative lady, yeah. But anyhow, the point is simply this, is she didn't get involved with the whole thing, which showed you that she was a complete failure, which we would have said at the time, I didn't have a good feeling about her. Anyway. What had happened, though, was now John Roberts, a wonderful conservative, right? John Roberts has been a complete failure, too, obviously.
Yeah, I agree.
But apparently, when this case came forward and the court really wasn't wanting to engage in this, I don't know why. You'd think the court would after what happened in 2000 and the Hanging Chads affair, right? The court always wants to step in when they can, you would think.
Sure, sure.
But in this case, John Roberts didn't want to. They had a kind of flailing Amy Coney Barrett at that time, so they probably could have gotten 4 votes to overturn what appeared to be an illegitimate election, what was an illegitimate election. And, Roberts was, him hawing back and forth. He didn't want to take the case. And there was apparently some loud argument going on in there, so loud that the people who are trying not to listen could all but not avoid it. You know what I mean? They had to hear it. And apparently, Judge Thomas was telling John, you are going to split the country. You're going to ruin the country if you don't look into this now.
Which I would interpret that is that the Constitution is under fire, right?
Yeah. Yeah, that's exactly what he was saying.
Our Constitution is under fire. Yeah.
He said our democracy is on the line. The democratic part of our republic, if you like, is on the line here. Yeah. Yeah. And something's horribly wrong. And, of course, nobody wanted to take it. And then there was two what I would call rather myths. What you call dissenting opinions on the hearings or the apparent refusal of the Supreme Court to continue to look at this case because they didn't think it had standing. Oh, it didn't have standing. You know what I mean? And it was just a fraud. The whole thing was a fraud. But obviously, two of the judges were furious about it. They knew something was wrong. And again, everybody fell down on this. How could all these people cave? Steve, yeah, know. You know what I mean?
Well, I think that's where Homeland Security comes in. I've talked about that, the Patriot Act. That Homeland Security was created not to find terrorists because there was no terrorists coming into our country. That's not going to happen. It was simply used, an agency that was used to find dirt on politicians and prominent people to hold them in place and blackmail them at a certain point in time. And I think that's what we have here right now. We have a major, major blackmailing going on by the intelligence community to buy off judges, to buy off politicians. It's pretty simple. That's all that could be happening, because I don't see enough people standing up, definitely on the Republican side, to stand up for the rule of law, to say, hey, this is illegal. What you're doing right now is illegal. They simply are remaining silent, which means somebody got to them, whether a threat or they bought them off, a bribe. By the way, Steve, I got a call on the line here. I need to get to her real quick here, and let's go back to the phones, and let's take Sherry in Kansas. Sherry, are you there?
Hi. Hi, Steve.
Hello, Sherry. Hello, Sherry.
I heard a guy last week. His name was Jay Ballantyne. I don't know if it's his company or he's just a partner in it, but it's a business that has developed software to do relational, comparing relational databases. And what they originally were doing, like Medicare fraud and insurance fraud. But what they're doing now with their software is they're comparing the property tax rolls with the voter rolls, and what they're finding is that there's properties that are not residential, like talking about banks, empty lots, places that do not have bedrooms and bathrooms, and they have voter registrations delivered to them, and sometimes a lot of them. And so this guy claims that they've been able to find a lot of fraud with mail-in ballots just doing this for different states and counties and stuff. So that's very promising. But the other thing is, he says a ballot that is not deliverable and gets kicked back to the post office, it's worth $25, and of course they generally send them to Democratic mm-hmm. parties that fill them in. You know, the Democratic Party at the post office. But it's somebody on RBN ought to interview this guy, because it was, you know, talking about voter fraud. It was very interesting.
I'll tell you what, you give me the contact, you give me the name, I'll hunt him down, and we'll see if we can get him on. That sounds good.
It's omega4america.com.
Okay, hold on.
And the other thing I wanted to... Yeah.
Omega 4 was the last of it? I'm sorry.
foramerica.com.
foramerica.com, okay.
And I think his name is Jay Ballantyne. The other thing I wanted to tell you is you really should listen to Ingrid's show last Saturday, starting about 20 minutes after the first break. You know, about 24 minutes into the show. They were talking about this clay, and the kind she sells, the lady she buys it from has written a book, and I've got that book. And she claims that she gets a lot of feedback from people, and she claims that taking clay baths, and it's a real high pH, it's like a 9 pH, and you use 1 to 2 cups in a bath, and you, like, whiz it in your blender and then, you know, pour it in with your bath water, but you need to clean your blender right after you do it. But
this is supposed to what? Draw toxins out of your body?
Yeah. She says it'll even help with chemotherapy. But that show that she had, it was a knockout. I mean, this lady she was interviewing was talking about a young 19-year-old girl she helped that was, they had told her that had C. difficile so bad, and she had been to the doctor for years, and they told her to go home and get her affairs in order, and she started drinking this clay, and she got over it. And the lady that she interviewed, she has a really good story, too, for herself. But she says she's had a couple of people say that it helped cure pancreatic cancer for them. And you know how hard that is to cure.
Well, yeah, pancreatic cancer is a death sentence usually.
But listen to that show. It was last Saturday night show.
All right. Appreciate the information.
Thank you
for calling.
Thanks.
Appreciate you. Thanks. Let's go back to the phones and talk to Charles and St. Pete. We'll probably get you for a minute, and then we got to go to break and start the second hour. Charles, are you there?
Yeah, I'll try to be short. Have you heard about Gonzalez Lira being recaptured? He's a dissident in the Ukraine who was arrested at a program.
No, I have not. Tell me more about that.
Henry Macau under HMAKOW.
All right. We got that break coming up here. Gmail. Top of the hour. Charles, hold on a second. Top of the hour break. Second hour coming up. And you're listening to Steve Starrs and myself, Steve Elkins. This is a new show called Joint Resolution. Stay tuned. Second hour coming up.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.